In the name of the glorious Trinity, Father and Son and Holy Spirit, forever. Amen. Glory be to the everlasting mercies which sent you to us, O Christ, the light of the world and the life of all. Give us wisdom by your law and enlighten our impulses by your knowledge. Sanctify our souls by your truth and grant that we may be obedient to your words and may fulfill your commandments at every hour. O you who enlightens the rational with the knowledge of your greatness, do enlighten, O my Lord, our thoughts, that we may meditate upon your holy and divine scriptures at all times, O Lord of all, Father and Son and Holy Spirit forever. Amen.
Double-Edged Sword, a Christian podcast ministry presented by Father Gennard Lazar. Father Gennard is a parish priest of the Mud-Edda Parish of the Assyrian Church of the East in Turlock, California. Here's Father Gennard.
Some people erroneously associate or think of depression as a mere temporary sadness or feeling down. But truthfully and realistically speaking, and those who have gone through this most painful and stressful circumstance will vouch for this, that depression is a lot more than just feeling under the weather. Before we continue and speak about this, I want to advise that by no means is the contents of this program on a professional medical platform, and certainly by no means does it override you seeking professional medical help or personal help or even spiritual counseling. If you are in need of immediate help as we speak, please contact a medical professional, or if the thoughts of suicide have gone through your mind or are now in your mind and thoughts, I strongly suggest that you call the National Suicide Prevention Hotline. That is 1-800-273-8255. You see, depression may or may not be accompanied by thoughts of suicide or the intention of committing suicide or committing harm to oneself. If you have, as I said, attempted or are preparing to do something, take drastic measures such as suicide and drastic harm to yourself, I strongly suggest that you seek professional medical help and assistance. But on a spiritual aspect, the question arises, do the people of faith, that means those who believe in the one true God through or known and received through his Son only, Jesus Christ our Lord, praise be to his name, do they encounter depression? Do faithful Christians encounter depression? Well, the answer is yes, yes, and yes. You see, faith by no means deters us from or prevents us from encountering evil or bad or sufferings, as some want to believe and some preach and some teach deceptionally. Our Lord, being perfect in every aspect, perfect God, true God of true God, perfect man, perfect God, perfect in every aspect, perfect in every being, encountered evil and distress in his humanity. You know, on the contrary, our faith assures us that during all bad and evil we encounter, we will be delivered from all by our gracious Lord God through his Son Jesus Christ and the power of his Holy Spirit. Our faith will strengthen us in hope, in willpower to continue, to strive, to continue, to be patient, to persevere during any annoying and unwanted sufferings. It will not prevent us from going through pain and suffering. And our faith is reflected and confirmed by our prayers to our Almighty, Omnipotent, a God that is so competent, can do anything and everything. We pray during our afflictions, through our faith, that God in due course, in his perfect timing, perfect will deliver us from all our hardships. And he will strengthen us, and he will bring us into an unmovable and unshakable faith. St. Paul writes to the Hebrews in chapter 11, verse 1, "Now faith is the persuasion of the things that are in hope. We believe that when we do face and encounter all hardship, severe and moderate and what have you, we know that we have hope that God will deliver us." That is faith. Faith is persuasion of the things that are in hope, as if they were in act. I go through depression, I have faith, and I know that God has delivered me. Even though I'm going through depression and hardship, but I believe God has delivered me, because he will deliver me. And it is the manifestness of the things not seen, Paul goes on to say. In faith, we are recommended to suffer with Jesus Christ. See, the point I'm trying to make is, don't believe those who tell you that have faith and you will not go through any hardship, you will not encounter depression. I mean, we pray, and I pray that the Lord will deliver us from such, the most down time of life, depression, which at times, not in every occasion, but at times leads to suicide or drastic measures. Our Lord, in our faith, we are recommended to suffer with Jesus Christ. Paul's second letter to Timothy, chapter 2, verse 12, instructs, if we suffer, we should also reign with him. But if we renounce him, he will also renounce us. Who are the we? He's writing to the Christians, those that have accepted Jesus Christ, have been baptized, the Christians, the faithful, the committed Christians. If we suffer, if we continue and be perseverant in our suffering, then we will reign with him. So why depression? Where did depression come from? Did God create and declare depression upon us? That's a good question someone asked. Did God create and declare depression upon us? Well, let's read Genesis chapter 4, verse 11. After Adam and Eve had, God wasn't crying over the fig. By the way, it wasn't an apple, it's a fig. We associate the fruit with apple because everyone has an Adam's apple in their throat. I don't have one, so I'm not Adamite. I've come from, from space. No, it was a fig. One of the church fathers writes, when Adam stretched his hands on a Friday, that same hour that Adam stretched his arm or his hand and took from the fig and ate it and tasted sweetness and brought bitterness into the world, that same day, Friday, Ruta, the passing, or the Ruta, Friday, that same hour, Christ stretched his hand, took the bitterness of the nail, and brought the sweetness of salvation and forgiveness. So after Adam and Eve had sinned, God was annoyed. God was disappointed because they were disobedient. They broke his commandment, not because of the fig. God says, therefore, listen to this, therefore you are cursed. Not I am cursing you, or not I bring this curse upon you. You are cursed because of what you have done. As I said, not I am cursing you, but the curse that you have brought upon yourself, I will allow that to be upon you. But immediately from that point, God's perfect plan of love, grace, mercy, and salvation came into effect. So if it's not God, well, who is it? It's a very simple equation. If it wasn't God, who was it? Oh, yes, it was Adam's free will. Yes, Adam chose to disobey God. But hang on, what caused Adam to choose and disobey God? Is the enemy, Satan, evil. Job chapter 1, verse 7. Look at what Satan says to God. And this is not Satan coming up to front God. No one can stand before our Lord God. In the book of Exodus, God says, I am the Lord God. No one can see my face and live. He is almighty. But when the scriptures say the Lord God spoke, many times it is an angel. It is a representative of God or the messenger of God. And the Lord God said to Satan, from where have you come? Satan answered, listen to this, and said to the Lord God, I have been going around the earth and I have been walking in it. Satan is still going around the earth, walking in it, and bringing all this destruction, infirmities, sufferings, persecutions upon mankind. And that effect continues to damage. That effect began in the Garden of Eden, and it is continuing to damage today outside of the Garden of Eden. And how? Through confusion, through depression, through stress, through worries, through hatred, through contentions. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, we read, and the serpent was craftier than every animal of the wilderness that the Lord God had made. Listen to what the serpent said. What a liar. That's why when Jesus rebuked the Jewish priests and the Pharisees, he said, you are like your father, the liar. Look at what Satan says. And the serpent said to the woman, has God truly said that you will not eat from all the trees of the paradise? I'm a little bit confused as to, and I'm a little bit let's say confused. I can't find the right word. But he should have replied and said, no, I'm sorry, God didn't say don't eat from all the trees of paradise. He said don't eat from the tree of good and evil, of knowledge. We can eat from every tree but this tree. Deception, see? This is it. Deception, doubt, confusion, stress. Okay, depression comes from the enemy, comes from Satan, who causes all these problems, who causes us doubts, helplessness, hopelessness, where you come to a point in life when you think, that's it, it is the end. I have no hope, I have no help. And then, as I said, some people take drastic actions, but we're going to give some advice, spiritual advice, as to what to do if you encounter depression or you are now currently encountering depression. But listen, I usually say, let's point the finger at Satan, but let's not be too harsh on Satan. Let's rebuke Satan in Jesus' name. We've been empowered. Satan crumbles before the children of God. It's just we give him, we put our guard down and we give him the day and of the time of day, and we make him to be something so much powerful and that he can overcome. No, we have power. We have the Holy Spirit. But that's Satan's mission. That's his ambition. That's his goal until he's cast in the eternal fire, as the scriptures say. I want to share with you the lamentation of Adam during the weeks of Lent. We call it olita, lamentation, wailing. You know, when we encounter death and some of our beloved grandmothers start singing stories, and that's called lamentation. You know, by the way, that's not, that is totally condemned by the church, because we do not mourn as those who do not have faith. We mourn as one who has faith. Yes, we can cry, we are to mourn, we are to feel sorry, but as one who has faith. In any case, listen to what Adam has been said to have said when he was cast out from paradise, when he was expelled from paradise. In bitter lamentation did our father Adam depart from paradise, as he cried in bitterness while shedding tears and saying, remember, this is Satan that brought him to this position. Yes, it was his free will, but Satan used man's desires and weakness to bring him to this point in life. O you land, he's talking about paradise. O you land, how pleasing are you? O place of dwelling, how sweet are you? Woe to he who departs from you, his heart shall forever not be glad. In the early morning I entered as a king, at midday I plucked the fruit and ate, and in the evening time I became estranged. Depressing words, yeah? we can possibly say, suicidal connotations. But Adam did not commit suicide. Adam did not live his life in stress and worry, because God planned to reinstate one more time and gave him hope. So all this because of Satan. We refer to Satan in the baptismal prayer as our captor. Let me share a portion of the prayer. Our captor, or imprisoner, Satan, who by his abject, that is wretched, miserable, envy and bitter nature, deceived by his stratagem, tricks, our first molded, or our first fashion, he's talking about Adam, and made him enter into destructive death, and like a wild beast, he overpowered us and wounded us and destroyed and put to death the whole nature of humanity. I'm going to stop there. That is suicidal. Okay, that is depressing. But I'm going to keep the best for last, and I'll continue when we get to the end of this program. So we're going to stop here. So Satan continues to date right at this moment. Whatever's going through our mind, you could be listening to this. These words can be penetrating your heart, your mind, your emotions, your soul. But then again, there could be something in the back of the mind saying, no, no, these are just words. These are just words. Well, no, when we are in depression and stress and, hardship and, you know, wearied, when we want to come to the Lord, there's something telling us, you know, it doesn't matter. It's invalid. It's useless. This is the time we need to rebuke Satan in Jesus' name, because Satan, till this very second, continues to increase the citizenship of hell and its flaming fire. But the church, the God, through his Son Jesus Christ, through his holy church, wants to increase the citizenship of the kingdom of heaven. St. Peter writes in his first epistle, chapter 5, verse 8, "Be alert, be reflective, because your enemy Satan roars like a lion and is walking and seeking whom he may devour." So that's his plan. What do we do? What can we do? Along with seeking professional medical advice, what can we do? Well, first and foremost, let me tell you this, beloved brothers and sisters. Be prepared to empower Satan and all his trickeries, his deceptions. Be prepared to place Satan under your feet and crush him just as Jesus did, because he has given us that power. He has already given us that victory on the cross. How? How do I do this? You're probably anticipating to hear the word pray from the get-go. Well, no, actually, before you pray, when we are down, when we think there is no hope, there is no help, and we are stressed, we are tired, and possibly in depression, I suggest you read Psalms. And there are Psalms which contain prayers of lamentation, weeping, crying, shouting out to the Lord. Let me share Psalm 13 with you. And if you are going through those conditions now, those situations that we're talking about, you know, recite this. Or when you finish listening to this program, go back and listen to Psalm 13 or read it yourself. "How long," says David, "how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou turn your face away from me?" See, these are words of helplessness. "How long wilt thou put grief in my soul and sorrow in my heart every day? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me?" You know, when you say these, when David was praying these, Satan was hooraying and clapping and cheering and high-fiving his enemies, his demons. "Consider and hear me, O Lord God, and enlighten mine eyes, that I sleep not in death. And let not mine adversary," that is opponent, "say, I have prevailed, I have succeeded against him. Neither let mine oppressors," stress, pain, suffering, depression, which are the deeds of Satan, the enemy, "rejoice over me when I am moved." Now, this is the time where you crush Satan under your feet. "But I have put my trust in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation, and I will praise the Lord who has delivered me." More verses after this. Let's stop there for now. So pray. Pray harder. Pray more frequently. Pray more earnestly. I don't want to continue with praying because we spoke about this last program. And the next thing so important, the next action or step is to attend more frequently the church services, beloved. Vespers. Vespers, evening prayers, early morning prayers, matins, divine liturgy. Most importantly, the sacramental service, the Eucharist, in order to abide, to stand, to remain in Jesus Christ, and He remains in you. You know, we take hope and we believe and we take a lot of courage by saying, Jesus is beside me, Jesus is holding my hand, Jesus is holding my back, He's got my back. But listen to John chapter 15, verse 5, what Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, not beside him, in him, this one brings fruit, brings forth much fruit, because without me you cannot do anything. If a man does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a shriveled up branch. That's what happens when we are not with Christ. And they gather it, throwing it into the fire to burn. And he goes on to say in St. John chapter 6, verse 56, whoever eats my body and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. We touch Jesus. We eat Jesus. Attend the sacramental services to have that intimate relationship with your heavenly bridegroom, Jesus Christ. Continue to seek counseling. You know, sometimes it becomes a taboo. It's a stigma. We are here to help. I promise you, where there comes a point where I cannot help you, which is beyond my scope, I will promise to refer you where you can get that professional help. In my case, spiritual. Talk to good, moral, and caring friends. Don't bottle up. Don't hide. Don't lock yourself in the room. Come out and start this plan and action of overcoming this evil entanglement that Satan has on you. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22, without consultation, plans are frustrated, but with many counselors, they succeed. It's good to take many counsels. Iron sharpens iron, and a man sharpens the person of his neighbor. Proverbs 27, 17. That is the obligation we have for one another, beloved. Galatians 6, 2, bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. We need to be prepared to listen. Not so much speak and be quick and hasten to do to give solution, but just listen and pray. Read the lives of the saints. Saint George, the illustrious martyr, was thrown in a room with a prostitute in anticipation that he would sin with the prostitute. You know what he did? For hours he was on his knees praying to God, to the point where that prostitute committed her son. She had one son. She committed her son into the ministry of St. George. We can overcome our infirmities, beloved, continuing in prayer, counseling, and attending the church services. The prayer that I read from, in conclusion, the prayer that I read from the baptism, the sacrament of baptism, goes on to say, but thy mercies that holds all, did not allow to throw us under the paralyzation to be perished from fear of mortality in the valleys of the shadow of death. We have hope, beloved. Christ, yes, we dropped the ball. Satan was glorious. Satan was victorious. Satan was playing havoc with mankind. But God did not leave us in that perdition. God sent His Son so that today, if I'm facing any infirmities, any struggles, any depression or stress or whatever it is, that I have victory through Jesus Christ. More readings are Psalm chapter 3, Psalm chapter 6, Psalm chapter 7, chapter 13, chapter 17. I recommend you read Job's Lamentations in the book of Job, chapter 3 and chapters 29 to 42. They give you encouragement. They give you a lot of heart, because it is God, through His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, promising, warning that we will face these challenges, but we have victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord, praise and glory be to his holy name now and at all times and forever. Amen. One last thing, please also don't forget to rate and review this podcast and share with your friends and family. If you'd like to suggest future episodes or give us detailed feedback, please visit the link in the description or on our Instagram, linktr.ee/doubleedgedsword. God bless you all.